Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. He's Rhino down there in Studio X. He's the real brains behind this operation, the power behind the throne, if you will. We are brought to you by Yuengling Flight. We are presented by DASA Big Four, or maybe we were presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by DASA Big Four. It matters not. What matters is a cold, crisp, light beer on a Mississippi game day, and that's what Yuengling Flight is. Brewed for those that never settle, whether you're in the Junction or in your home. If you're watching Mississippi State football, enjoy a Yuengling Flight. Brewed for those that never settle, enjoy responsibly. Yuengling Flight, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. We got to do this again, huh? This is the thing about hosting multiple shows, right? So I do Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, on Sunday. I got to relive the Texas game. Come back to Sports Talk Mississippi on Monday. I got to relive the Texas game. Here we are on Thunder and Lightning live on Wednesday. Let's relive the Texas game. Why don't we just punch me in the face? Just right there. There we go. Well, here's what we'll relive. Let's try to draw some positivity from all this, because there's a ton of negativity, obviously. Mississippi State, with 9 minutes to go, was up 17 points on the preseason number one team in the nation. Now, at the end, it matters not, right? They lost the game. It doesn't matter if you lose by 1, by 7, by 20. It doesn't matter. A loss is a loss. You shouldn't be happy about a loss. And I would say at this point, you probably maybe shouldn't even be happy about, well, they were competitive, you know. Because I understand that, like, preseason, if I had told you in June, State's going to be up 17 on Texas in the fourth quarter. Now, they're going to lose the game. They're going to give it away there at the end. It's a really bad comeback. But that's the case. I think everybody would have been thrilled. Been like, oh, wow, maybe this team's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And then in the moment, when you think the game is in hand and it gets snatched away from you, it's difficult to keep that same kind of perspective. But we have seen Mississippi State this year go toe-to-toe with some really good football teams. They just haven't gotten over the top yet. This week they're playing a team that is not a really good football team. Now, I would argue that Florida is not really a good football team either, but we saw how that panned out. But I think Arkansas is noticeably worse than Florida. State has a real opportunity, if they can just get one, to build up some momentum and maybe get two and maybe even get three. And the truth of the matter is with State, the way they've played this year, is that they could get all four. There's a world where they went out. Now, that's highly unlikely, statistically improbable. I wouldn't put any of my own money nor any of yours on it. But the possibility, however minute it is, does exist. And so a win this weekend against Arkansas, and you can get that ball rolling. But you got to win this game. And for Jeff Lebby, it's kind of funny, and we're going to talk a lot more about this on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast that you can listen to. Where if he wins this game, it's like you had a chalkboard and you just erase everything that's on it, right? You start fresh. You win this game, and everybody's like, okay, he's got them going in the right direction again. 5 wins. They just need one more for a bowl game. Missouri's quarterback's out. The Egg Bowl's at home. They can get one of those games. There's a lot of excitement with just one more win. But a loss, and it becomes, what are we doing? Becomes, what's going on here? This guy can't win SEC games. He's now 0-13 in the SEC, and he's going to be favored to be 0-16. Can you really go on like that? this is a huge game for Jeff Lebby and his time at Mississippi State. I don't remember a game like this for a coach in his second year where it was just like, you're going to really know what you've got with Jeff Lebby come Sunday morning. Come, I guess, you know, Saturday evening when this game wraps up. And if he wins again, like, I feel like the slate is clean. Sort of the same way it was after Arizona State. After State beat Arizona State, 2-10 was gone. It was, don't worry about 2-10 anymore. Because surely they're going to win some of these SEC games. And then, you know, you lose the close one to Tennessee. And then Texas A&M handles you pretty easy. And then you really give it away against Florida. And then you really give it away against Texas. And so fans are just kind of, it's kind of like a layer. You know, onions have layers. Ogres have layers. Mississippi State football has layers. The first layer is frustration. If you're so close, you've been so close to some massive wins. But underneath that layer is where you look at the team and you go, gosh, they're a lot better. They're so much better. And that's why it hurts that you've lost these games. If they weren't better, if you were just looking at them and going, wow, they still stink. You know, it would be just, it sounds weird, but it would be a little easier to swallow. But because you know they're better and they're improved and they should be winning some of these games, it makes it that much more frustrating. So, massive game for Jeff Lebby this week against the Arkansas Razorbacks, who have got to be getting close to their own breaking point. And I was thinking about this today. You know, State was up 31-14 going into the fourth quarter in Starkville. So, obviously, a super hyped, engaged crowd. If you turn that around this week, if State's up 31-14 on Arkansas, State's playing to an empty stadium. That, you know, whatever Mississippi State fans made the trip are still there. Maybe some of the diehard Arkansas fans. But by and large, those guys are all back at the tailgate. State, you know, the thing that State's been able to do in almost every game this year is score first. They scored first in every game except last week. Last week was the first time that they had trailed first. A fast start in this one, and man, I just don't know how much give a crap Arkansas really truly has. Now, last week, you know, they had Auburn on their heels, but they gave it away, and I wonder if maybe that's going to be the final straw. Now, there's another side of that, obviously. There's the side where Arkansas is just desperate to get a win, and they come out motivated and ready to play. Very possible. But I think it's more likely that they're teetering a little bit. And Talen Green, don't know his status. Expected to play, but he's a little beat up right this second. And that's if he can't go for Arkansas, I don't know what they're going to do. So they've got to get that figured out. But for Mississippi State, for Jeff Lebby, for his program, his future, his time here in Starkville, this is an absolutely massive game for the Bulldogs. Bubba in Starkville, if he does not beat the Pigs, will the fan base quit? Quit's a strong word, but I mean, I don't expect a huge crowd at the Georgia game if State can't get this win. The Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl. State fans will show up for that. But if you don't beat Arkansas, yeah, there's not going to be 50,000 plus, close to 60,000 plus. But if you beat Arkansas, then I think everybody buys right back in, and then you've got a great crowd for the Georgia game. 11 a.m. kick, but I think people show up for it. But if you lose, yeah, people are going to say, what am I doing? What am I, you know, why am I continuing to do this? Especially, it depends on how they lose. If they lose another game like they've lost the last two weekends, people are really going to say, I can't anymore with this team. So this is a big, big game for Jeff Lebby. I mean, this is his 21st game at Mississippi State, but this could be the one that determines the rest of the way for him. Do you go into 2026 with momentum, or do you go on it into the hottest seat in the country? Or do you even get to go on it? I don't think State wants to get involved with this coaching carousel with the way that it's going. I don't think Tate Reeves is going to say anything where he's going to take control of the search like some governors have. But by and large, I think State would like to avoid a search if they could. So we'll see. Dawson Big Four in Tupelo, 45 years they've been serving the community in Tupelo and helping their neighbors get the new car that they want. What are you looking for? It doesn't really matter because Dawson Big Four has an incredible selection, a reputation of trust, and the award-winning service. If you're looking for a new pre or pre-owned Buick or GMC, you've got to go to Dawson Big Four, 628 South Closter Street, or go to DawsonBig4.com. When we come back, 1 week from today, Mississippi State starts the basketball season. So that being said, I thought it would be, you know, we need to hear from Coach Jans before that. I talked to Coach Jans a couple of weeks ago, so we're going to air that interview next here on Thunder and Lightning. A long interview. It'll take us about 20 minutes to get through all of it. So we'll have to break it up over a couple of parts of the show, but we will do that. And we'll hear from Coach Jans as he gets to set to see if his team can make it to the NCAA tournament for the fourth straight season. Looking forward to that conversation. We will do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, and we are brought to you by Dawson Big Four.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Brought to you by Dawson Big Four, presented by Yuengling Flight, a cold, crisp, light beer. Sounds good to me. Only 95 calories, only 2.6 grams of carbs. Sounds even better. Yuengling Flight, brewed for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly. We're going to go now to my interview with Coach Chris Jans from a few weeks ago. Everything's still relevant in there. Let's talk now to the dentist, the head coach of Mississippi State basketball, Coach Chris Jans.
It is the bye week blitz. We're talking Mississippi State men's basketball with Coach Chris Jans. I got you pre-practice this time. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's a better time. I'll be chippier and happier and more energized and probably in a better mood too.
I appreciate that. Thank you for joining me as always. When you look at your upcoming, you know, season and the roster that you've put together, it looks on paper a little different than the roster you had a season ago. When you went into this portal cycle, were you looking for a different style of player than you were a season ago? Did you change how you wanted to make your team up?
I don't think it's any secret for those that really paid attention to us last year and our state fans and followed along in our journey that we were better offensively than we'd been in previous years. Just, you know, most people could see that, but the numbers vetted it out as well. But we lost too much on the defensive end, and we kind of wanted to get back to our roots a little bit and make sure we were mindful of not just expecting guys to buy into defense and toughness and rebounding, that we had to recruit it a little bit as well, and certainly try to get them better at all facets of the game once they arrive. So we wanted to get bigger around the basket and have more of a defensive presence that way. And, you know, time will tell, but that was kind of our mentality as we headed into the recruiting season, especially in the spring, once the season was over and the dust settled, who was coming back.
So before we get into the guys who are here, let's talk about one guy who's not here anymore. In the movie Moneyball, they talk about recreating in the aggregate. Do you have to recreate Cam Matthews in the aggregate? Because I think it would be very difficult to find a player who did everything that he did for your team.
First of all, you got to use terms that I understand, man. JUCO coach. That's going to be really hard to replace him. You know, he's been a stalwart for me and our program since I've arrived. You know, he was sitting in the room when I showed up on press conference day, and our relationship grew every day since then. And his position on our team and our program certainly grew every season as well, from, you know, a starter to, you know, a main guy to obviously, you know, being kind of the leader of our team, a captain of our team, and someone that, you know, everybody followed. And that's a lot for anyone to just take over, if you will. So first, we got to try to, you know, just get some guys on the team to replicate some of the things that he did on the floor. But, you know, Cam was unique. Cam was unique in being a two-way player for us and our style of play. I mean, being able to basically be positionless defensively and then turning into an old school point forward for us as well with the decision making and being in that lead guard spot. So I don't think we have anyone that's going to just walk in his shoes, and we're going to have to try to reconstruct, you know, how we do things on both ends in his absence.
So I'm pretty sure a year ago, one of the questions I asked you was, you know, what does Josh Hubbard need to add to his game, or what can Josh Hubbard add to his game? I want to change that question up just a little bit. What do you need Josh Hubbard to add to his game?
Great question. And I need him to continue to buy in to being a very good defender. You know, when he first got here, it was more, I needed him to spell defense, to understand that it's on the other end of the court that, I, you know, 50% of the time when I'm on the court, that's my responsibility to play on that end too. But he certainly progressed that way. He is in a much better place defensively than he ever has. The timing of this interview, I mean, he's had the best stretch of practices, in my opinion, that he's ever had from a 10,000 foot view, not point scored, but just everything, every facet, even including leadership. He's been off the chain. And if it continues, knock on wood, it's going to bode well for all of us. So, you know, I'm always going to talk about that with him because, like all players, we got strengths and weaknesses. Josh is no different. And so he's got to make up for some limitations by being ahead of the play mentally, being in a perfect position all the time, his motor being running all the time, you know, trusting the technique that he has learned 2+ years now going into his third season. And it's happening. It's happening. It's getting into his DNA where it's a regular deal of him being that guy on both ends of the floor. And then certainly offensively, people will see him, but he's even better. Like he's his shot selection has changed a little bit. He's better off the bounce. He's stronger than he's ever been. He's certainly playing both on and off the ball like he always has. But, you know, I think even going into his third year, he's going to be a better version of what we've seen thus far.
You added a player, and I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly. And if I'm not, I want you to get me. But Sergey Makura from Serbia. How close did I get?
Sergey
Makura. All right. Yeah. Stefan Krosnick, our buddy, will be mad that I got that wrong since he's Serbian. I saw this was like a thing around the league this year, though. There's a lot of Europeans coming into the league. I know Ole Miss got a guy from France. I think Auburn and Alabama both added a European player. Is that a next step for rosters? Are you going to see more of this? And do you enjoy the international flavor of recruiting?
A lot of questions. First, this isn't a question, but I want to make sure I get this right. It's pronounced Sergey, but his nickname is Serge. So it doesn't really make sense. It kind of throws me off a little bit, but everybody calls him Serge.
Okay.
But his full name is pronounced Sergey. So you'll have to ask them personally how
I will make that happen. Yeah.
Referred to.
Yes.
International market, I think, was a result of a bunch of things that happened in the spring. The market kind of dried up for available players in the portal, and everybody at that point had scholarships remaining and was in need of players that could, you know, be a part of the rotation or starters or whatever each program needed. And so, you know, I think everybody kind of went from the portal market, seeing if there were high school players still available. And then at the same time, the international market became, you know, an avenue that more schools that had maybe not previously jumped into. And because of the money, let's be honest, the market financially for the players over there, it was used to be harder to get some of those guys to leave over there because of being in certain programs and knowing what they were going to make either currently or in the near future. But with the change in the market over here, you're seeing more kids from the foreign countries want to come over here and play. And that's a big reason. And I've coached obviously foreign players in the 33 years that I've coached, but recently with just having Sergei, like my take on it has been awesome. I mean, he's been as coachable as we've had since we've been here. Like he's off the chart when it comes to coachability. Like it's like he looks you dead in the eye and yes, sir, no, sir. And what do I need next? What can I do better? I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, he's gotten off to a great start and he really is behind because he wasn't here in June and July. So he missed 8 weeks of training, but he's picked things up very, very quickly. And, you know, if we can continue to get guys like that, I could see us, you know, staying in that market going forward.
When you look at this roster, you've got a good group of guys that it feels like could play in the backcourt if necessary, can play in the front court if necessary. You know, I guess the traditional term would be swingmen. Do you feel like this is a versatile roster that even within the game, you can change the way you want to play?
Yeah, I feel like we do have a versatile roster. You mentioned guys that can, you know, move around a little bit in the lineup. And we do have guys like that. Like, you know, Sean Jones comes to mind, an Amir Ali, a Chur, even a J-Mar, Jamarian, you know, Davis Fleming. You know, those guys are guys. Cameron Paul's obviously a freshman, you know, medium-sized guys that he, like you mentioned, could move around a little bit from the two to the four, depending on, you know, what kind of lineup you want to play. Certainly, we're hoping for some separation before the games come rolling around. And even if that happens, it doesn't mean there won't be, you know, changes to the lineup once we get going and productivity comes into play. But I think at this point, there's a lot of competition across the board, and our players know that. It's very unique that way when you're in our kind of camp, if you will, preparing for our first game. You know, you want them to compete for minutes and spots, but at the same time, they know come November 5th, we're going to be, you know, in the locker room rallying together to compete for each other that way. So it's a little unique that way.
You mentioned.
We will continue my conversation with Chris Jans in just a moment. Speaking of a moment, any moment you need to buy a new car needs to be spent at the website DotsitBig4.com or at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. That's where Dotsit Big 4 is. Again, if you are in the market right now for a new or pre-owned vehicle, nobody in North Mississippi has a better selection than our friends over at Dotsit Big 4. Plus, it's backed up by their award-winning service department. Give them a call today. Talk to them at Dotsit Big 4, and you will not regret that decision. We'll come back to our conversation with Chris Jans when we come back here on Thunder and Lightning.
At the Citizen.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, you got to tell me. What is it?
Well, it's a band you said you liked last week.
Oh, is it Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah.
Okay. I needed a second there. I do like it. I like Thunder and Lightning. Hope you do, too. We're here on Super Talk. I'm Brian Adet. He's Rhino. We are presented by Yuengling Flight. We are brought to you by Dotsit Big Four. Let's go to the second part of my conversation with Coach Chris Jans from Mississippi State Basketball.
Playing together to compete for each other that way. So it's a little unique that way.
You mentioned Paul and Davis Fleming. This is your most highly touted freshman class coming in from a recruiting perspective. How many of those guys are ready to contribute early in the season?
It's a great question. Again, I'm not ready to make any broad proclamations or guarantees, but we will be playing freshmen. There's no question about it. You know, it could be one. It could be three. You know, I don't know yet. It hasn't unfolded. I really tried not to. A lot of people want to ask me who's going to start, you know, not just on the air, off the air. I mean, my wife wants to know. And
Josh Hubbard, and then I'll figure out.
I may leak it to her a little bit. Yeah. She's sworn to secrecy. But I really try, and I may have said this to you before, I don't remember. I really tried not to put a starting lineup in my head or a top eight or top nine. Because I don't want to box anyone in. You know, I want the practices to unfold, and there's a lot of them left before we have to worry about that. And I may shy a little bit too much on that, where other coaches want to know and they want to play them together. I'm different that way. I want competition. We mix teams every single day. Mm-hmm. We don't have a maroon team and then another color team, and the maroon team's the number one. It's not that way. We mix and match them every single day. So no one really knows. They don't know. And eventually the cream rises to the top, and everybody in the gym, other than maybe a spot or two, knows. You know, that's why I tell them all the time, I really don't determine who plays. You guys do. I'm not determining it. You know, if I did a poll November 4th, who should start, who should be playing, if I picked 8 or 9 spots, we'd all be very, very close to one another. I mean, we're there every day. So, you know, that's kind of how we look at that.
When you signed Brandon Walker, how quickly did you hear from our friend Brandon Walker?
Actually, I heard from him prior to signing Brandon Walker. I have the text, so certainly wasn't prepared to answer this, but I think it read something like, tell me this is going to happen. And, of course, I couldn't show my cards.
Yeah.
You know, but my response was like, I think that would be a heck of an NIL deal. You know, I
mean, yeah,
that's not what I do, but sounded pretty good. But I think he's been on campus since then and maybe even took a picture.
I think so. Yeah.
The real Brandon Walker. Hey, you want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
One day I called Brandon Walker,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I was calling my Brandon Walker, the player, and the Brandon Walker in his eyes answered the phone. Mm-hmm. And it was a little awkward for me at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I told him right away, I go, I can't lie to you, man. Like, I thought I was calling the other Brandon Walker. And so we ended up having a fun conversation about it.
Coach, what do you mean you didn't mean to call me? I thought we were friends.
I did make that mistake. Went. And at least he answered the call when I called him, though.
There you go. He's all about the Bulldogs. You know that.
I do.
You got an exhibition coming up in a couple of weeks with Houston. I guess the Lakers weren't available for you to scrimmage with. You go and get the national runner up from a season ago. From an exhibition game where you want to play a lot of guys and you want to see, how much can you really take away from an exhibition game like that? Because the level of competition obviously is very high there.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about that. I was so excited when that came available and we were able to get that done. You know, we got a tough, tough non-conference schedule. If you're paying attention and you're following along, it's our toughest one yet to date. And I felt like we've had some challenging ones since we've arrived. And we're very mindful of numbers and projections and NCAA tournaments and seeds in the back of our mind to try to put our players in a position to be able to, you know, be in those conversations and preparing for those games. You know, I don't think we could have found a better situation to one have to go on the road. You know, we're not playing in Houston's arena, but we're playing in Texas, and it's an exhibition game. There's two games. You know, A&M's playing Arizona State prior to us, and then we're playing in the second game. So I'd anticipate with the Texas schools, there'll be quite a bit of fans there, and it'll be, you know, very, very game-like. I mean, everything about it's going to be game-like, and certainly I can't have more respect for a program across the country than I do for Coach Sampson and Houston and their culture and how they play. And I think I would echo what most coaches say across the country. And so the great thing about that is, you know, we're going to know where we're at. We're going to know, you know, what we need to work on. We're going to know, you know, what exposure we had and fortunately still have time to, you know, get better from it and get our players to understand where some of our weaknesses are. And I'm just thrilled with the idea of it. Certainly we got a long way to go before then. And, you know, we have another opportunity before that actually. And I don't even know what the rules are anymore, but we got a closed door situation this Saturday.
You put on the DL there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so good. Like I've been doing this for years now. Other schools are starting to do it as well, but people used to wait for the 2 weeks before and play back-to-back leading up to the game. So you play a week, have a week off play, and then have your game. I feel like with the access in the summer and the fall, like kids want to play against someone else about right now. They're really tired of going against each other. So we inched up one of our exhibitions or scrimmages, and it's worked out great. So we'll get a play Saturday. And then the next Saturday, I don't even think it's public yet. So there's breaking news, man.
Oh.
I'm going to have an open practice slash inner squad the following Saturday, whatever that Saturday is here at the Hump, and then a week before we play Houston, and then after that it's 7-8 days before we play a real game. So we're about to get into the meat of our basketball season.
All right, last question. So this is the day on the podcast where Robbie and I, we do like a Twitter mailbag, right? We ask people to ask us questions, and they're all random. They're not just Mississippi State sports. We're going to give you one to answer. Here we go. This person says, I truly believe in the 6 degrees of separation theory. What's a time you made an incredibly unexpected connection with someone over somebody you both knew?
Jeepers Christ, man. I wasn't prepared to be
like that. I know. I'm just throwing, I got to do this every week. If I can do it, you can do it.
Oh.
You know what was funny is mine is around you.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had something cute to add to it that way. I'm trying to think of someone that I've met recently that would fall into that category. I just can't think of anyone, Brian.
I'll give you an easier one then. Reese's peanut butter cups, do you prefer them room temperature or cold?
Cold.
There we go. There it is.
Cold. Once I get my answer, I'll text you.
Okay.
I will text you. I'm a preparation guy, man.
I understand. You know, but sometimes, you know, the game gives you a challenge. You just got to be willing to go for it.
Well, basketball is one thing. You know, that's I'm kind of a one trick pony, man. Like that. not so much.
I got you. Coach Chris Jantz, always a pleasure to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you this season at the Humphrey Coliseum.
All right, Brian. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to Coach Jantz. As we mentioned, a week from today, we will be 1 hour and 15 minutes away from tip-off of the 2025-2026 season, Mississippi State taking on North Alabama in that first game. That exhibition with Houston I mentioned, that was this past weekend, State lost by 9 to the national runner-up in a game where State kind of tried to play a lot of guys. And one of their starters, Jaden Epps, took a bump early in that game. They pulled him out precautionary. Appears to be okay, but didn't play a lot of games. That's a guy who's going to play a big role for Mississippi State this year. So I'm excited for basketball season, as I'm sure most Mississippi State fans are. Tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I have a conversation with Isaac Trotter, who, if you've been listening to this show or Sports Talk Mississippi or the Thunder and Lightning podcast, that's a name you know, a very passionate man about college baseball, covers the sport for 24/7 and CBS Sports. We go into some great detail about what he's expecting to see this upcoming season in the SEC, and specifically about Mississippi State. So definitely check that out on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. But yes, should be another. This is why football is so important right now. Look at State's athletic programs by and large, right? Basketball's in a really good spot. Women's basketball, pretty good spot. Baseball, be tough to be in a better spot than where they are right this second, coming with a new coach. Softball's pretty good. You know, they've been in the NCAA tournament these past few years. If you can just get football right, this athletic department is really healthy. But that's the concern, and that's the key to everything, is getting football right. And once that happens, you know, you're really off and running. But until it happens, the analogy I like to use is you've got a house that's got all the toys and everything inside, the big TV, the beautiful furniture, everything. But the windows are dirty. So when you look in, it looks like the house is dingy. So you got to clean those windows. And that's what football is. It is the window that you look through to see everything else. Yuengling Flight, the next generation of light beers, crisp, clean, and cold. Perfect for a Mississippi game day. Enjoy a Yuengling Flight this weekend. Brewed for those who never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Of course, Datsun Big Four in Tupelo. If you're in the market right now for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go see my friends at Datsun Big Four. Tell them Brian Haydad sent you and get a great deal on a new or pre-owned car. We'll wrap it up when we come back here on Thunder and Lightning Live.
We've sent that rip van.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Hey,
Let's wrap it up. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yingling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. Rhino has done another outstanding job. His streak continues of shenanigan-free radio. And that's all we're really looking for. Got a text here on the C Spire text line. Great show tonight, Brian. I was so tired of reliving the Texas game in this season in general. Basketball is going to be good to us this year, I believe, and then baseball should be outstanding to us. But let's not give up on this football team. You know, they have an opportunity this weekend, like I said, to kind of wipe the slate clean from the previous weeks. If they just win this game, look, let's make the comparisons, if you want, between Mullen and Lebby in their first year. If this comes with the idea that this is year one. Last year was a year zero. I really don't know how I feel about that, but enough people will tell you that. Enough people whose opinion I trust will tell you that, yeah, last year was a year zero. Okay, fine. So at this point, 9 games into his first year, Mullen was 3-6. He had played 2 really tough non-conference games, in Georgia Tech and Houston. Both of those teams, if they were ranked at the time, I don't know if they finished ranked. That Georgia Tech team was really good. Houston won 10 games that year. Case Keenum was their quarterback. They didn't really have their breakthrough win until the last game of the season. You know, they beat Jackson State. They beat a 2-win Vanderbilt team. So they already had the conference win. So I guess you could have that. They beat a really, you know, a Middle Tennessee State team that wasn't that great. They beat Kentucky, and that was kind of the point in the season where Mississippi State is at now. And a win over Arkansas would be kind of similar to that. And then they beat Ole Miss at the end of the year, and that's what sort of set the train off and running. And would absolutely do that again if Jeff Lebby were to follow that model. He won this weekend, and that's not necessarily having to beat Ole Miss. If he could beat Missouri to finish 6-6, I think everybody's fine with Jeff Lebby. You go into next year with some momentum. But if you don't, well, that's a different story. The next week's show, if Lebby loses this game, there's hard questions you have to ask. There's no excuse to lose this game. Arkansas is not a good football team. They're on their interim coach. Defensively, they're the worst team in the conference. Offensively, they're good, but you've been better defensively this year. This is not the same defense that Arkansas put up 59 points and 600-plus yards on a season ago. There's no excuse to lose this game. Even though it's on the road, this shouldn't be a overly difficult environment. Mississippi State should go to Arkansas and win this game. Will they? Arkansas's favorite in this game, which I'll be honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. Maybe that's a little me being naive, but I thought State might be favored in this game. Maybe just like a 1 point, 1.5 point favorite. It just shows you that, you know, winning on the road is tough, and that Arkansas, when they're at their best, they can score on just about anybody. I was really surprised Arkansas didn't beat Auburn last week. When it was 21-10, I thought a coach was going to get fired last week, and I didn't think it was going to be Brian Kelly. I thought it would be Hugh Freeze. They were able to stay execution there for another week, at least. But I just don't know. If State wins this game, I think you just move forward and everybody's in a good spot. If you lose, really tough questions you have to ask about Jeff Lebby and his future here at Mississippi State. That being said, and you know, what's funny is, you guys know my little simple formula for these games that I'm not sure about is better coach, better quarterback, who's at home? Arkansas is at home. Green is a better quarterback than Chapin. Petrino has a much better resume than Lebby. You can't argue that. Why would I think State's going to win? But I do. I do think State's going to win. So maybe I'm just being a homer on this one. I haven't been very homery this year. I certainly wasn't last week when, I mean, I had people telling me like, wait a minute. They were toe-to-toe with the much better Tennessee team. You think they're going to lose to Texas? And it just came down to, I just don't think they know how to win. And I was proven correct on that one, unfortunately. This is one where I just think Arkansas is just not, they just don't want to be out there at this point. They can't have a lot left in the tank. So I think State gets the win this weekend. I haven't settled on his final score yet. I think it'll be high scoring. The over-under on this game is 67, 68. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do that. But, yeah, I think it'll be a high scoring game for sure. Dwayne and Brandon, so what if State loses to Arkansas? Well, I just said, Dwayne, you have to ask the hard questions. about Jeff Lebby and his future at Mississippi State if they lose. Because there's no excuses. I will not hear excuses on this one. You know, you can give me an excuse why they lost to Tennessee. Tennessee's a better team. Texas, better team. Florida, not a better team, but you're on the road. I can, okay, fine. Not this one. I won't take them. So. All right, so just a heads up, programming note, I won't be in this studio tomorrow, but Robbie Faulk will be. He will be on Sports Talk Mississippi with Michael Borky. I believe they're going to have some guests on who cover the Arkansas Razorbacks and cover the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Ole Miss game. Plus, who knows, maybe Louisiana's governor will make another asinine statement between now and then. Maybe he'll tell them that they're not going to pay a football coach more than the minimum wage. I don't know. We'll find out. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.